We're looking at a subject I think that's we probably are familiar with. Respect of persons is something that's found, actually it's found a number of times in the New Testament, wording to that effect. Now, if you have a newer translation, it may not have respect of persons. It may just have a different wording there. Instead of respect of persons, it will have showing partiality or something along that line, which is exactly what respect of persons means, that there's no respect of persons. It'll have no impartiality or no partiality. And yet, this is something that does happen on occasions. In Acts chapter 10, when Paul got to the house of Cornelius, he says in verse 34, it says here in verse 34, that Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." Now he perceived this, he understood. I guess you could say it's kind of, he came to a conclusion over the things that had happened prior to this with the vision that he had and other things along that line. And there he was in the house of a Gentile, something he would not have done, and yet God had shown him that through these things that he was no respecter of persons. We live in a society and in a country that places a great amount of stock in our justice system. And our justice system is supposed to be blind. We've probably all seen at one time or another something that looks like this. I see that turned out darker than I thought, but it's the idea of here's justice, and these are the scales, the balance, where someone is weighed in the balance or something is weighed in the balance, but the one who holds the scales is blind, blindfolded actually. So he can't see to tip the scales in one way or another. That's what that means. That's why the scales are used and the blindfold and all this other. And it's to show, well, impartiality or no respect of persons. And really, in order for justice to work, it's got to be administered impartially. I think we all understand that. Now, whether it is or not is really not the question. It's supposed to be. And it will stand on that. There will be people that will tell you that's the way it's supposed to work, even on occasions where it may not necessarily work that way. But really what happens is that what is expected of one person is expected of all people. One does not look upon the outward circumstances of a person. Now, for example, what their race might be, or their religion, or sex, that doesn't matter. You don't look at those things in determining whether or not he has violated the law, or should be allowed to eat in a restaurant, or should be qualified to run for office, etc., etc., etc. Now we, and by that I mean our country, we have experienced those types of inequalities and respect of persons in time past. I think much to our chagrin. There's very little that we could do now to change this. I'm reading this business. Princeton University. Princeton University once had a president of Princeton University. His name was Woodrow Wilson. Later he was the governor of New Jersey and then president of the United States. And from what I know about Woodrow Wilson or ever read about anything about him and so on, he was originally from Virginia. And although Woodrow Wilson is a champion of liberals today, Woodrow Wilson was a racist. There's just no escaping it. He was. And yet there are those at Princeton University that think his name should be removed from buildings or programs or anything like that because he was a racist. And I think to myself, take his name off. What does that do to solve the problem of racism today? It doesn't do a thing. It's just so much of something that's done in some symbolic gesture that accomplishes nothing. History has things that it says there. We had, at one time or another, 12 presidents who, while serving in office, were slaveholders. What good would it do to strike their name from history or buildings or take their images off of our currency? What would all that accomplish? It wouldn't accomplish a thing. It would not change one thing about any racial situation from the time they were in office to today. But people think so. And we've got this history. There's no sense in denying it. These things have happened in times past that, respect to persons has been shown. Being from the North, not seeing a lot of the overt racism, it was kind of a culture shock to be in the South for a while where you could see remnants of this. I kind of likened it one day. I had some relatives down, some of Martha's family. I took them around, showed them some things. And I said, it's almost like coming up onto a fossil find. You've heard about this. And you knew this was actually, real at one time. But you've never seen anything like it. And then, look at this. We had, in a little town of Tuckerman, 1,700 people. There was a black Baptist church. There were several white Baptist churches. But there was also a church for the black Baptists. And there was even a cemetery in town where the black people were at one time expected to be buried. The other church in town was a Methodist church. And on the other side of the tracks, there was a church over there, another Methodist church. And that's where the black people were expected to attend at one time. And I said one day to one of the lifetime members there, I was kind of pleased that there wasn't a black Church of Christ in town. He said, oh yeah, there was. You can imagine, I was crestfallen. I thought maybe we'd resisted this, I must have been out of my mind anyway. And he told me where it was at. And I mean, it wasn't an hour later. I went over there and drove fast. And there it was. There was a building there. They no longer met. Hadn't met in years. But at one time, they had that. They had two high schools in a town of 1,700. And seeing this, it's a reminder of all this. And so, there's no denying it. But so it's what you do now about it. And we have made strides in the direction of not showing respect of persons in that way. Yesterday I went to the man up at the hospital I go see, birthday this week. And they had a birthday party, some of his family was there. A girl there, college age, she's going to college and she's learning at the feet of these professors in the college. And they had her convinced that the race issue in this country hasn't improved since Reconstruction. It was amazing. I said, really? How then did we get a black president? If it hasn't improved, they could. How's that happened? Well, never thought about that, No, don't let the facts of history get in the way of a good propaganda. But we have had these problems. And there's no sense in saying that, the church hasn't had... Yes, we have. We've had problems with this kind of thing. And not just in the matter of race. We've had problems with respect of persons. An elder's son falls by the wayside. He's quit coming. He's been married 2 or 3 times. And what did they do about discipline for him? Nothing. Why? He's one of the elder sons. And there are other things like this that happen. And sometimes maybe we find ourselves guilty of respect of persons when we did not realize it. It can just happen. And we've got no knowledge of it. So it's not something we just pass off with the wave of a hand and think, oh, that doesn't happen, or oh, that's not me, and so on. Because a lot of times these things exist. Racism still exists in this country. It might be deep in the closet in some places, but it still exists, and a lot of things. And so respect of persons, you know, the problem hasn't been completely eliminated. I don't know if it ever will be. I think that the problem could be improved on. I think we can do that. The God that we serve is a God who does not accept someone's person based on the outward circumstances of life. I don't know what could be more clear. Our God is an impartial God. But sometimes that's just forgotten as we serve Him. When God's impartial, He's not a respecter of persons. We know that. We can quote that. And then what if we turn around and we're respecting persons ourselves? Are we really serving Him? No, we're really not, I guess, if that's what we do. In the Old Testament, let's spend a little time there for just a moment. God forbade respect of persons in civil judgments. Now, this was something that was for Israel. It wasn't for the whole world. The law was given to Israel. It wasn't given to everybody. And the law that they were given, go back to the book of Deuteronomy. The law that they were given called out for no respect of persons. Now, in the Old Testament system of judgment justice, there were judges. And these judges, there was a whole list of things that were given to these individuals. I may have said Deuteronomy 17. I meant Deuteronomy chapter 1. I'm sorry. It's Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 17. Forgive me for that. Don't have respect of persons on me over that one, okay? Anyway, here's one of the things it says, "You shall not respect persons in judgment, but you shall hear the small as well as the great. You shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is God's. And the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it." So judges were forbidden to show such respect of persons. You can see that there. And this isn't the only time that this is mentioned. Over and over, you find in the Old Testament, I've got a whole list of things up there. I'm not going to read them all. But showing respect of persons, the idea is, it would pervert justice. It would be as though that image that we had at the beginning with the scales, you know, had kind of the corner of the blindfold up and was peeking out just a little bit. Well, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Let's read one of them, Deuteronomy 16:19. We'll just take a look at that one to kind of keep things at a minimum. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 19, "Thou shalt not wrest judgment." That means twist judgment, one way or the other. "Thou shalt not respect persons." Now, watch what else is said. "Neither take a gift. For a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous." Gift. That's a nice word for a bribe, is what this means here. In the context of serving justice. Don't take a gift. And there are other things, and you can read all of those up there. But now, and here's the thing. This particular system that existed a number of centuries ago, think how long ago, the principle is still seen in systems of justice today, all over the world. And it's a good system. And again, in order for it to work, there can't be any respect of persons. It was that way in the Scriptures in the Old Testament. It ought to be that way as well today. Now, also, when we think about the idea of God not being a respecter of persons, now, there was a time when God's favor was delivered to one people. That would have been the Jews, of course. And that changed with the coming of Jesus Christ and the gospel age. And God had come up with a plan. God had a plan. And the plan was for the whole world, not just one particular group of people like it had been before, just for one nation of people. No, it was for everybody. And you know the passages. In the giving of the Great Commission, you go into the world, basically, they all are saying the same thing, different ways. You go into the world, you preach the gospel to every creature, all creation. Go into the world and make disciples of all nations. And Luke says there, well, now you do this and you preach repentance and you start here in Jerusalem. And then what is? Well, you work out from there until you go to the uttermost parts of the earth. It's for everybody. And what this tells us, when you look at that, it doesn't have in there any place where it says God is no respecter of persons. But here's the thing. You understand that because God has this kind of system, that the gospel is for everyone, and that everyone has an opportunity to be saved, then that means that God's no respecter of persons. If he was a respecter of persons, he would have said something like this. Take the gospel into all the world, but not over there to Phrygia. Don't take it there. Well, that would make him a respecter of persons. But see, that's not there. It was for everybody, even people in Phrygia, wherever they were at. And this was really, at that time, and we don't, maybe we don't, you know, wrap ourselves around this idea, but this was a completely revolutionary concept. And you can see how there were residual problems with this in the church for a long period of time, because a lot of the things that Paul writes about in his letters is this reluctance on the part of the Jews to accept this, that the gospel is for all. In one way or another, there was respect of persons being shown. So it was completely revolutionary. Now another thing is that at this particular time, the Jews, they considered Samaritans and Gentiles dogs. And that doesn't mean the nice little puppy dog, you know, that sits on your lap in the house. That's not what it's meant there. It meant these vile creatures that were out running wild and were vicious and no value and problems and other things like that. Not very complimentary, was it? But now, here's the thing, that while that might be the case, God, in the gospel records and in the New Testament, he showed them and us something different. Galatians chapter 3. One place where you can find this. Not the only place, but we're just going to look at this one. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, you are all one in Christ Jesus. When it comes right down to it, and a matter of salvation, and even though there might be a difference, as the world would see a difference between Jew and Greek and bond and free and male and female, when it comes to salvation matters, there's only one. Everybody's one when it comes to being in Christ Jesus and salvation. So God showed them something different, showed the Jews something different, shows us something different too. And something we ought to take to heart and realize that, well, you know, the gospel ought to go to everybody, to all the world. That's what it was intended. And as I said earlier, the early church had to be reminded of this, and it appears they had to be reminded of this often. Now, we looked at the account over there in Acts chapter 10. Let me go back there for just a second. We looked at verse 34. But Peter learned this, and then you find Peter boldly proclaiming this in verse 34. And he goes on in verse 35, and he says, but in every nation. Now you think about that for just a minute. Isn't that what it says in the Great Commission? Every nation? All people everywhere? Yeah. So he goes on to say, in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. So how had he learned about respect of persons? He'd learned about it, and here he's, when he's saying this, he's making the absolute proper application of it, and you know what? He's in the place where this can be carried out in practice at the house of a Gentile. Very interesting. Sure it is. And also, the Apostle Paul, go to Romans chapter 10. And in Romans chapter 10, verse 12. Romans chapter 10, verse 12. The Apostle Paul writes here, "There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." That's kind of what Peter was saying, wasn't it? But again, it's the idea, there's no respect of persons here. So you can see this, and we'll look at more, you know, as we go along on the subject, a few more things. Now, so God's no respecter of persons. That's what you get out of what we just looked at there. But now here's the other thing. Respect of persons is forbidden in the church. It's not supposed to be there. Now, it might be. I think there's been cases and evidence where, yeah, that is the case. But it's not supposed to be. In James chapter 2, I believe James is addressing something along this line. James chapter 2, we'll take a look at verses 1 through 4. And this is pretty well made clear here that there's not supposed to be any respect of persons. Let's just look at these verses here with me. James chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory," now watch, "with respect of persons." What are you talking about? Well, "if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, sit thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves?" Are you not then showing respect to persons? Of course they were. "And are become judges of evil thoughts." You see the point. If someone rich, someone poor, you're going to show respect to persons to the rich man. That'd be wrong. It would also be wrong to show respect to persons to the poor man. But that would be wrong. And you know what? The interesting thing about this is you go on down to the chapter and you get to verse 9 and he's talking about respect to persons again. How about that? You know, if you're supposed to love your neighbors yourself. Well, yeah, but you have respect to persons. You're not going to do that. You're not going to do that at all. So now just a point, I want to point this out though, that while James chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, I understand it's talking about matters of wealth. There's no getting away from that. But you know, the same principle about respect to persons would apply to those who are famous or powerful, however, what kind of power they wield, whatever it is. Or they might be influential or educated. Or depends on race or nationality or gender. It applies to all those, not just the wealthy here. If someone would come in and we would show deference to somebody, "Oh, well, you know, this fellow over here, he's got a PhD. So we've got to, you know, kind of show deference to him. And he's smarter than everybody else in the room." So that would automatically mean in some people's mind that he's going to be right on a number of things. Really? Is that not respect to persons? Yeah, it would be. Or someone who's famous or powerful. Held a gospel meeting one time. An elderly lady was there on Sunday morning and the brethren were all anxious and excited about it. Her son was there with them. They said, Do you know who her son is? And I said, "I have no idea. I didn't even know who she was. You know, I mean, I knew most of the people. I didn't know her." I said, "Well, her son's the mayor of Bedford." I thought, okay, he's going to hear the same lesson everybody else is going to hear. And I'm not changing anything in it. Just because he's here. I don't know if that's what was expected or not. Didn't matter. The respect of persons is not supposed to appear. It's forbidden in the Lord's church. Now, there's also other mentions of respect of persons. For example, Romans chapter 2, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 9. Colossians chapter 3, verse 25. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. All about respect of persons. And it's not supposed to happen. It's forbidden. Don't do this. So the church in Rome and the church in Ephesus and in Colossians chapter 3, and then wherever these brethren in general in 1 Peter are at, they're not supposed to do it. I think we get the idea. Surely we do. Now, another thing is that respect of persons is not permitted when sin is involved. You go to Galatians chapter 2. I said earlier that sometimes this happens. Sometimes it happens, and it happens for a number of reasons, you know, that, whatever. Like I mentioned, you know, here's a man, an elder, and his son's out of duty, and nothing's done. Or it might just be, a family member. Maybe they're not an elder or anything like that. And people get upset, and they want, like a daughter who's completely lost sight of what it's about to be a Christian. Well, you can say that about anybody else, and you can go over here and you can rebuke these other people, but not my daughter. Well, that's happened. Well, you can rebuke these other folks, and there's these standards for these other people over there, and yes, I agree with them 100%, and I think that this is what ought to be done, this is what ought to be said, but don't you practice that on me. Are you expecting respect to persons? Yeah, some people do. But you know, when sin's involved, when it's sin's involved and there's souls at stake, there's no place for this. And here's the thing that stands out in Galatians chapter 2, and I think really makes the strongest point that can be made on this. There's no get out of jail free card. It's in that Monopoly game. But we don't have these in the Lord's church, or we hand them out. Oh, there's been a sin committed. Well, here's your get out of jail free card. You can play it at some time. No, that would be respect to persons, wouldn't it? But you know, not even an apostle was exempt from this. That's what you see in Galatians chapter 2. In Galatians chapter 2, starting in verse 11, let's read down to verse 14. Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. When Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they had come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, why are you doing this? Why is this taking place here? And in the very first part of this, in verse 11, you find out that not even an apostle, Peter was an apostle, but he wasn't exempt from this. Now, when it says there that he was to be blamed in the King James Version, now other translations have different wording in there. I know that, I believe I'm right on this, but the New American Standard Bible, the English Standard Version, the American Standard Version, all have in there condemned. It sounds like Peter did something here that was really wrong. Blamed, well, you can see there that could refer to sin. But when you get to a word like condemned, I don't think there's any other way you can look at it. He was wrong. He'd sinned. And here's a case of Paul going to confront him about this. And when he confronts him about this, the sin at Antioch, what was this all about? Well, you read the rest of it. And it was about respect of persons. That's what Peter had done. If that's not what it's about, I don't know what it's about. But that's what it is. and it becomes clear. And the thing that really, you know, is just hard to reconcile is that Peter, of all persons, ought to have done better, shouldn't he? He's the one that went to the Gentiles, to the house of Cornelius. I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. And then we're over here, and what's he doing? He's showing respect of persons between Jew and Gentile. Oh, that'll never happen to me. Wonder if Peter might have thought that himself. He's kind of the trailblazer on this. And look what he did. See how it can happen? This was the old problem when you get to verses 11 through 14 of Jew versus Gentile. Gone on for years. The Gentiles, he's eating with the Gentiles. The Jews come along, and what does he do? Well, I can't eat with them anymore. Not these Jews are here. He's going to show favoritism toward them. And it just creates all kinds of problems, not just for him. But look what his influence caused in all this. Yeah, he would eat with the Gentiles. You see that in verse 12 through 4. But then it says that certain came from James. Well, that means that they were Jews that came from James. Down in Jerusalem. That's what's going on. And so he separated himself from the Gentiles because of these certain that came from James. And Peter's show of hypocrisy here in respect of persons, it had an effect. And again, it affected many. It says here that the other Jews were carried away, as well as Barnabas, with his dissimulation. With his hypocrisy. Some translations will have that there. And what was going to happen here? What was the outcome of all of this? Well, you see what the outcome of it all is in the first part of verse 14. When I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. Truth was suffering here. And truth is going to suffer any time that we start showing respect of persons. Just like it did then. This is why it's such a thing to avoid. And whenever sin's involved, there's still no respect of persons. Even an apostle, there's still no respect of persons. And then finally, in the latter part of this, you know, when it says, you know, we believed in Jesus Christ, we want to be justified by the law, not by the works of the flesh, and so on in verse 16, all of that and everything. But now, Peter, you're doing wrong about this. That these folks are justified just the same as we. Peter had made a defense for them over and over again. And after pointing out how he's wrong and that the truth is suffering, you look at the latter part of verse 14. He says, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? You know, why are you doing now what you would not do earlier? Well, that's hypocrisy. Yeah. And in this case, it's hypocrisy in the area of respect of persons. Yeah. And a serious matter. Yeah. It's affected the truth. It's affected these others that you've been with and what you're showing by your actions. I mean, that's just wrong on a number of cases. And you know, while there's not respect of persons in regard to sin, there shouldn't be any respect of persons in any case, at any time. And we really need to be careful when we discuss something with someone to make sure that we're not showing respect of persons and that we are doing the right thing and we're doing it in the right way. We're doing it from the right motive and all other things involved. And to realize, you know, there is no special case based on position or wealth or power or all those other things. Take your songbooks and turn to the song that's been selected. Some doctrines show respect of persons in matters of salvation. Now, I understand that there's a lot of people who may deny that that's the case. They'll say, oh, no, that's not happening. We're not sure. But I'm going to tell you what Calvinism is one doctrine that shows respect of persons. You know how it does it? The doctrine of Calvinism says that God's favor is only for the elect. That's it. If you're not part of the elect, now the elect are chosen before they were born from the foundation of the world. And so God's showing respect of persons before you're ever born. That there's some that are going to be saved, some going to be lost, and God's just decreed this. So Calvinism says that God actually does show respect to persons. That's something counter to what the Scriptures say. When it comes to salvation, you find something like this. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth come. Let him that is athirst come. And whoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Now there's no respect of persons in the gospel call. There's no respect of persons because anyone who will believe in Jesus Christ and repent of their sins, confess Him before men and be baptized, can become a child of God. And it doesn't matter where they come from or what their background is or what they look like, what language they speak, etc., etc. And we need to realize that there's just no room for this, not just in becoming a child of God, but even after that. And treatment and other things. So it's a lesson to learn. And I think sometimes it's kind of an easy lesson to learn. Well, I'll admit that, you know, it does seem to be that way. But sometimes it's hard to practice this. It's a real challenge in doing it. Just think about Peter. He learned all this. He knew what was the right thing to do, and yet he failed to do it. Now, the thing for Peter to do was not to do it anymore. And if we find out that we've been showing respect to persons, well, we shouldn't do that anymore either. And anyway, the lesson is yours. If there would be one tonight, would become a child of God, would do the things necessary that's revealed in the Scriptures, the opportunity is yours. If you're subject, why don't you come all together? We stand and sing.